Normally, we'd say, turn your attention to the screens, we get ready for this message. This morning, though, you're going to be looking at the screens the whole morning. If you are ADD by nature, you're going to love this message, because there's going to be something going on all morning long. All you're just let your attention just run wild. Last week, went down to Nicaragua with just a few folks from our missions team here at Essential, and there's really no way to really explain or communicate really what the experience was like without having you just sort of experience it. Like a 2-minute video really wouldn't suffice. So this is just going to play in the background. There is a church that you all have been a part of partnering with for many years, and it is up in the hill country of Nicaragua, and this is our trip up to that hill country out of the downtown city. And when Pastor Chris or Alex, whoever, says, when you give back a portion of what God has blessed you with, it goes to continue the ministry here in Virginia Beach and around the world, this is one of the areas around the world that you are having an impact. And so this is what's going to be playing throughout the message. And really, here's the thing. I don't care if you listen to me or if you watch the video. I really don't. Both will be effective at communicating the same thing, honestly. Because for some of you, what you need is you need to see something to have the impact. For some of you, you need to know or understand some things. So whichever one you are, it doesn't matter to me. You're not missing out on anything, whether you tune me out or you just watch the video or whether you listen to me and totally ignore what's in the background. By the way, in November, we're going to be packing about 35,000 more meals. So be looking forward to that. And guess where a lot of those end up? Right there in Nicaragua at the warehouse, and this gets distributed out throughout all the different churches and ministries in Nicaragua as well as other places around the world. So a lot of that food right there was packed right here in this very room, which is kind of neat to see it show up there. You'll also notice up here in the hill country, these are the coffee fields, and they all have to be hand-picked. So that coffee that you enjoy is all hand-picked because it has to be up in a mountainous area where it's very cool during the day. I think 60 to 70 degrees is about where the temperature that coffee requires, and so it's a lot of hand labor. And this is the road going into Las Escaleras, and it is a dirt road, and it's the only way to get into the community. And if you get a little motion sick, be careful what you watch on the video. Also, you'll know that this video is the exact amount of time that I have allotted for my message. And I have a theory that the staff came up with this idea because we're switching to 3 services this morning and I have to be on schedule. And so this was their subtle way of making sure I didn't run over, because it'll be very apparent if I do. Now, some of you, your only focus right now is mission trip. I didn't know there was a mission trip. I want to go on the mission trip. When's our next one? There isn't one. We don't do mission trips. You may have figured that out by now. Maybe you grew up in a church or been a part of a church that did mission trips every year. We don't typically do mission trips. And the reason why is because our partners in ministry down there say, please don't. I say, what do you mean, please don't? Well, think about it. You have to ask yourself the question, do you want an experience or do you want to help? Like, do you want experience or do you want to be effective in actually helping people change? If you really want to effectuate change, then by all means, do it. But if you just want to have an experience, you know, then find somewhere else to do that. I remember years ago, I read an article. All you need to know is the title, because it'll stick with you. The title of the article was, I went on a mission trip to Africa, and it totally changed my Facebook profile. And that's really kind of what oftentimes missions is. It's like, look at these kids who have problems. Look at me helping them. You know, what is that doing? There's a great book called When Helping Hurts, and it talks about how to break cycles of poverty. It can't be done in a weekend. And you will look at some things in here, and you will think in your mind, why don't we just blank? That's not going to solve the problem. The cycle issue of poverty is complex. I mean, there are government issues, and there are mindset issues. But this is Pastor Carminda. She is the closest thing to Mother Teresa you will ever meet, or at least I've ever met. The world will never know her, but she should be sainted if you believe in that kind of thing. She is absolutely amazing. Not only that, when I think of the best pastors I've ever met, she is clearly in my top 5, and I'm not exaggerating. On a leadership level. Oh, by the way, this is her right now telling me I'm going to be preaching. I'm like, The translator is telling me, I'm like, I'm doing what? Yeah, so there we are. Got to preach. Topic of the message, this life is about nothing more than a loving relationship with Jesus Christ you'll enjoy for all eternity. Imagine that. Sorry, I tear up just thinking about Pastor Carmina. We've been a partner with this church for several years. We partnered with another church in the southern part of the city, and due to political unrest, the government closed that church down. And so I was very distraught about it. Pastor, I said, well, there's another church that started up a feeding program up in the countryside, Pastor Carmina. And I was just so brokenhearted over the church that had, you know, been shut down. You know, I said, yes, I still want to do this. And so he introduced us to Pastor Carmina. So this is the first time I've actually gotten to meet her since we first started partnering with her, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago. That's a little outhouse out there. That's the outdoor kitchen. And then behind there's the education building. That right there is the food prep room, the indoor kitchen, and then there's the church building. And by the way, this facility is like one of only two facilities that look like they've been built in the 21st century or even the 20th century in the whole community. Everything else is like, if you've ever been to like Cades Cove and Frontier settlements, Little House on the Prairie, that's what a lot of the houses look like in that area. But it's all due to Pastor Carmina's vision and her heart for the people in the community. Other people have seen her heart and said, we want to help you reach these people. So yeah, I'm as ADD in this message as and you're going to get that throughout the message. But back to the thing, if you actually want to change people's conditions, it requires local intervention and long-term commitment. And at Essential, we've said we're going to make a long-term commitment. And so that's why, you know, we don't ask you, could you support a child this year? No, when you give back a portion of what God's blessed you with, it's continued ministry here in Virginia Beach and around the world, because we made a commitment to Pastor Carmina and a church that we will help you feed the children of your community indefinitely. It's a long-term commitment. But it's got to be her that does it. Like, if I show up for, what, a weekend? What am I going to do in a weekend? Nothing. If you show up for a weekend, what are you going to do for a weekend? Nothing. You know what's actually going to impact change? Someone like Pastor Carmina, who has a heart for the nutrition and health of her congregation and the education of her congregation, to teach them how to get out of poverty, the life skills that they need, and how to have a loving relationship with Jesus Christ they can enjoy for all eternity. That's something she can do. And if you actually want to help, then help the person who can actually do that in their life. And that's why we don't take mission trips, but rather we partner with somebody locally who can effectuate change. Furthermore, let's look at the economics of it. To go down there for a couple days, you're going to spend about $2,000 on airfare, lodging, travel, transportation, interpreter, etc. You realize for $20,000 we feed 120,000 children for an entire year? You don't have to be good at math to figure out 10 people 1 week or 1 year, all those kids fed. Now, just pause for a second. I could ask you what you would rather do, but why don't we just pause for a second and ask the person in Los Escaleros, what would you rather do? Would you rather see 10 people for a week, or would you rather all the children in your community get fed every single week and have an after-school education program? Which one do you want? I mean, it's a joke, right? Also, you're going to see in this video, there's only a couple stairs leading down this very steep gravelly hill down to the church, and in the rainy season, it's nearly impossible to get down to the church. As a matter of fact, when I was first, we were going there to check out the stairs, right? That was one of the things. And I literally took like 3 steps down, and I started sliding. I was like, something needs to be done. Oh, that's what we're here to look at. So one of the guys in the group actually is a landscape contractor, and he brought all his computer equipment, and he's, you know, going to do a CAD design of the whole hill, you know, trick the whole thing out. So we're going to be going back, or actually he's going to be going back in January to build the stairs. You might say, well, hey, I want to go help do that. No, I don't want you to go help do that. You realize we can hire locals for about $15 a day, and that's a great wage for them. They'd be really excited to make that. Do some math in your head. $2,000 for you to go down and work. How many people could get employed and generate, you know, and stimulate the local economy for that $2,000? They would love to have that work. Not only that, the people in the church love to come and help out, because then they have buy-in and it's a part of their life and a part of their community, and they go tell their friends, hey, look at these stairs that we built here. You see, they have local buy-in. So would we rather send a team of 30 of you guys down to do all the work, or employ 25, 30 locals and 25, 30 church members to build stairs that will have a lasting impact in their community? You know, it's a no-brainer, right? So that's why we don't do mission trips. All right, so we've been in a series, though, talking about why I quit. And so far, we've talked about things like why I quit going to church, why I quit going to groups, why I quit serving. Last week, we talked about why I quit prayer. And by the way, I don't know if you guys picked up on this. Maybe you did. Well, if you were in the second service, you did. First service, y'all don't really realize it. We had a spike in attendance last week, and there was people waiting to get into your parking spots, which is why you need to leave as quickly as you possibly can. Thank you very much. But part of that's because I went over too. But we always spike in attendance whenever I teach on prayer. I've been tracking this for over 15 years. Every single time I preach on prayer, spike in attendance. And I have a theory why. God really wants to hear from you. And he will bring you here to hear a message about how much he wants to hear from you. He does it every time. If attendance ever drops, all I gotta do is do a sermon on prayer, bam, guaranteed it's gonna go back up. I'm not kidding. I literally left my house last Sunday morning going, well, this is gonna be a big attendance Sunday. I was talking to that staff meeting. Debbie's like, well, I wish you would have told the children's department that you know these things. And it's sort of like one of those things like, well, you know, I spiritually know it, but I don't always have the confidence to proclaim it, right? Like, I knew it going in, but I probably should just, it's, you know, one of those like audacious things like, hey guys, next week, big attendance Sunday is what I'm preaching on. It sounds kind of odd in a staff meeting, right? But I knew it. And sure enough, it happened again. It's happened 15 years. Why do I ever doubt? But all those things that we quit over time, the whole point of this series has been that we've quit things we don't even realize we're quitting them. You know, we tell ourselves, oh, next week I will go. Next week, next semester I'll start a group. And we quit without thinking about the fact that we've even quit. And we wake up one day and we're not doing it anymore. And somebody says, when did you quit that? And you go, I don't even know. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about why I quit giving. And it's very different than all the others. Like, we know when we quit giving. Giving is a very conscious decision. I mean, we're pretty conscious about what happens with our money. We don't just be like, I don't know what I did with that $100 last week. No, that is how a lot of our money ends up. But when it comes to giving, we're always aware of every dollar that we give. Like, we know when we give something. We're not always aware when we spend our money on our own stuff, but we're always aware when we give stuff. So when it comes down to financial stuff, awareness is always the issue. When we quit stuff, we're aware of when we give, but the question is are you really aware of all the spiritual realities when it comes to your finances? Awareness is always the key when it comes to anything with finances. And one of the things is awareness of the scriptures and the spiritual principles at work. Now, this is one of the reasons why I really want to show you this video. Because Pastor Carminda didn't just put on a dog and pony show for us up at the church. She said, I actually want you to go and see the families that you're helping. And so she took us to two families the first day and two families the second day. And we got to walk down into the village, actually into, for some people that just had us on their porch, one of the ladies invited us actually into her home. And it's one of the things that you really need to see. I'm going to skip down to my message. One of the things about awareness is years ago I was teaching on contentment. And made the statement that awareness is the enemy of contentment. And it really is, because, like, you know, I love what I have till I see what you have. Like, you know, this is my iPhone. I like my iPhone, but a new iPhone just came out. And this has the old iPhone port, and the new one's got the USB-C port, and it's titanium, and I really like the new one. So now my old one kind of stinks, right? I'm not as happy with my iPhone now that a new iPhone came out, which, by the way, is really weird when I'm talking about this with this in the background, of course, but that's kind of the point. See, awareness is the enemy of contentment. But awareness is the friend of someone who's in need. You see, so often we don't meet needs just because we're not aware of the need. And what I want to do this morning is make you aware of how the rest of the world lives. I've said before that if you make minimum wage in America, you are in the top 5% of wage earners in the entire world. And you have a hard time experiencing that. I understand it until you see this. Now, average wage is here, you know, $2 a day or so. So I say, if you're paying somebody $15 a day for hard labor, they're excited. They'll work 10 hours, you know, straight through. So here we are on this lady's front porch, giving her just some food. And one of the things we say at Essential is we want to lead the way in generosity. And Orphan Network is our bridge that basically Orphan Network goes and vets pastors in country and connects them with churches in America to effectuate the change. And so when they've done home visits with other churches that have come down other places, and usually when they do a home visit, they said, we're going to go to the grocery store, and we're going to buy some food and take it to the family. And so we started talking. We're like, well, do they need anything else besides food? Like, anything else? Like, anything else we can do to help? I mean, you tell us. And she's like, what do you want to give? I'm like, hey, that's not my place. I'm not going to the gringo. I'm not going to come down here and tell you what you need. What would this? You've been to these houses. You tell me what they would need. And he's like, I don't know. And he's like, pots to cook in, maybe some towels. But he's looking at us like, why are you getting this stuff? I was like, I said, you don't understand our church. If I come back and all we did was drop off some beans and rice, I can't face my congregation. Because they go above and beyond in everything. And we're not going to not do that here. And so that's why you'll see, like, there's one bag of food. But there's a whole other bag that we just stuffed full of just household goods, towels and scrub brushes and soaps and stuff. This lady, so sweet. She volunteers and leads worship up at the church. And just heart of gold. Another little thing, little note. This boy's the one who keyed me in because he's just so cute. One of the things is it's very helpful when you see, like, you see him here, he's wearing the maroon shirt. He was really nice. He wore the same shirt the next day so we could pick him out in the crowd. Or perhaps maybe that's the only shirt he has. And that's what kicks in. He was like, wait, you were wearing that? Oh. And it's amazing. You're just not aware of how everybody else in the world lives. And awareness is the enemy of your contentment. But awareness is the friend of someone who's in need. The entire family lives in that one room. I had the beds in there. For her, the other house we went to had their stove was on the outside. Her stove was inside the house. It was just a wood burning, so it was like cooking over a campfire. Remember Pastor Eddie? Pastor Eddie comes and visits with us every March. He'll be here again next March. He runs the network throughout the entire state. And then there's local, there's four or five regions in around the country that are broken up. This is the stairs project. Here I am using old tools like a measuring tape. Aaron there, who's the contractor, he has a little computerized puck he keeps dropping around. He's like, what does that do? He's like, oh, it'll just pull this up on my computer when we get back home. Oh, okay, I'll put my tape measure away. Never mind. There he's playing around with a little magic puck. But when you become aware of the true needs that are out there, it changes your mindset. Jesus tells a parable. He says, this certain landowner, he had a crop. This is over in Luke chapter 12. He says, the ground of a certain man produced a good crop and thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barn and I'll build bigger ones and I'll store up more grain for my goods. And I'll say to myself, I've got plenty of things for many for the rest of my life. I'll take it easy and I'll eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, you idiot. Your life's going to be over tomorrow. And what will happen of all the stuff you stored up? It would have been better if you gave it to those who really needed. And we just don't because we're just not aware. There she is, Mother Teresa herself. One of the questions with giving, though, is we talk about how this life's about nothing more than having a loving relationship with Jesus Christ you'll enjoy for all eternity. When Jesus was asked, that statement comes out of when Jesus asked, what's the most important thing? He says what? Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. He says two things. But he's asked what's the most important command, and he quotes two commands. Why does he quote two commands when he's asked what is the one most important command? And then because his answer is you can't separate the two. They're one and the same. How is it that you love a God you can't see? By loving the people he created. One amazing expression of that is this question. Can you love somebody that you've never seen in the same way that you love a God that you've never seen? Now, why did I finally go down to Nicaragua? We've been partnering with churches in Nicaragua for 15 some odd years now. The reason is because we worked with Pastor Rudy down in Jinotepe for probably 8-9 years. And then when the government shut down his church and exiled him, kicked him out of the country, that's a whole long story with, it has to do with the political nature and climate of the country. He was just trying to do what God called him to do, and that was the result. I never got to meet Pastor Rudy. And it kind of broke my heart that, you know, all that happened. I never actually got to meet him face to face. My, you know, dream was to someday, you know, maybe after 10, 20 years. And so when Pastor Eddie invited me to come down, we'd already been working with Pastor Carminda for, I don't know, 6, 7 years now. And I just thought to myself, you know, I want to go meet her now. You know, there's no issue with me. You know, my ability to love somebody I haven't seen, I think we've checked that box off. I just want to go meet this rock star of a woman who created this ministry down there. This is us going to another one of the home visits. Now, keep in mind, if you were bringing groceries back from the market, you took the bus to the village, 30-minute drive on that chicken bus. You get off on the dirt road, and then you walk these paths, you know, a quarter mile or so through these, you know, up and down hills. You know, there was that one area of the community that had like a sidewalk built. The rest of it's all just dirt paths like this. And so this is the path that this family takes to get back to their house. This little boy followed us around just to, you know, see what we was up to. And one of the things he said, he says, I really want to learn English because they know English is a key to breaking a cycle of poverty. You also might say, well, you know, during the daytime, why isn't he in school? Well, the local school goes up through about fifth grade. Okay, that's the school right you saw there in Los Escaleras. Before Pastor Carmindo started the feeding center and the after-school program, only about 45% of the kids were able to complete up to fifth grade in the community. Once she started the feeding program and the after-school education, which, by the way, is what you all fund when you give back a portion of what God blesses you, to continue the ministry here and around the rest of the world, because you all partnered with her to start that that feeding program and the after-school program, 95% of the kids finished fifth grade now. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? I mean, that was just in two years' time. That was the result of that. But you might say, well, so fifth grade, what happens after fifth grade? Well, that's another issue that we have a heart to work with Pastor Carminda on. The middle school, high school is in Matagalpa, which is 30-minute drive away. The only way to get there, as you saw earlier in the video, people ride horseback, they hitchhike rides in the back of pickup trucks or the city bus. City bus makes like two or three round trips a day. For the kids to get to school, school is free, but getting there is not provided. And so round trip's about $3 a day. And so we're trying to figure out, is it possible for us to scholarship kids to be able to continue on in school that money for them for the bus ride? There's a lot of complexity to it. It's not as easy as, well, who do I give the money to? It's a complex issue. You know, will the kid actually get the money to go on the trip? I don't know. You know, will he? I don't know. You know, will the boys, girls, will they get it? Or will, I don't know. But that's a Pastor Carminda issue to solve. You know, we are looking at her saying, we will resource you. If you can figure this out on the local level, we'll resource you. That's where our heart is at. So just know that's the thing we're working on. So that's why the little boy is walking around with us, because, you know, he's done with school. He's past fifth grade. So this is a grandmother, 5 children in the home. Mom and dad are out working, and so she watches the kids during the day. Sweet lady says she's got a little outdoor kitchen out here, and then the room inside. Yeah, a lot of the stoves are, they use like a logs, and they'll put like a concrete covering over them so the logs don't burn up. So that's kind of how they make their stoves there. These little boys were precious. So one of the biggest issues with giving is, you know, awareness, not seeing the need. The other one is just, you know, we're not aware of the scriptural principles and the spiritual principles of giving. When Paul is in Acts chapter 20, Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. And Paul's been made aware of the fact that the area in Jerusalem is experiencing a famine. And so Paul's aware of that need. And so he's going to all the churches that he helped start along his way back to Jerusalem and asking if they will give money to help the church that's in need. And so when he gets to an area near Ephesus, he asks for the church leaders from Ephesus to come down so he can talk to them. And he says this. He says, "We must help the weak, remembering the words of our Lord Jesus himself, who said, 'It is more blessed to give than receive.'" Now, that's a passage that most of you all know. Didn't even know it was in the Bible. Maybe thought it was in the Bible. Wasn't sure where it was in the Bible or who said it. By the way, this is just, I mean, she just walks through the village and people just come up to her. And, you know, she, of course, knows everybody by name and talks to them. And by the way, you might see this girl here in the blue. One of my worries with Pastor Carmina is, like, what happens if Pastor Carmina, like, something happens to her? Like, does the whole ministry fall apart? And Pastor Eddie looks at me like, what do you think? She's some sort of novice? He says, who do you think that girl was that was following her around? That's her apprentice. That's like her associate pastor who she's training and teaching and who just literally follows her around like the old discipleship model just follows and mirrors her everywhere she goes. So if something happens to Pastor Carminda, she'll take over. I told you, she's one of the best pastors I've ever met. I mean, bar none. So this lady's cooking indoors. She's got a little baby there in the hammock. Pastor Carminda, she's just like yelling at her, like, what are you doing in here? You're smoking the place up. It was kind of funny. That's what's going on to my right while I'm looking at the baby in that shot. So Jesus says it's more blessed to give than receive. Now, this is an issue that we have. We don't fully understand this principle. We know the pithy statement. It's more blessed to give than receive. We just don't live it out or really in factual believe it, right? We would think it's more blessed to receive. Like if I were to tell you, you know, hey, your boss called me. He want to let you know you're getting a raise. Woo, right? I'm excited. It's more blessed to receive a raise than it is to give, right? But the thing is within about a month's time, you won't even know you have or had a raise, right? You'll be just as broke next month as you were this month, even though you had the raise. And if it doesn't take you a month, give it 1 year. 1 year, you'll be back in the exact same spot. And you'll be needing another raise, so to speak, right? Here you can kind of see the kids. They're going down these steps, and then the steps just kind of end there. It's not that the hill isn't steep after that point. It's not as steep, but it's still steep. You'll just slide right through. See how the kid's kind of going down kind of fast right there? That's the hill, and it really drops off to the right. This was just coming back. School's about to get out. School is kind of getting out, so all the little kids are here, and there's an after-school program that happens, and then they do like a big lunch there as well. So the idea of it's more blessed to give than receive. When you think about it, though, you're much more likely to remember extravagant gifts that you've given than extravagant gifts you've received. Like, when you give somebody money, you remember it. And when you see that the impact that that money's had, you remember it. A lot of you will remember this video you're watching this morning for a long time, in part because you know that you give back a portion of what God blesses you with, and that's why this is all possible and all happens. Over in 2 Corinthians 9, he expounds it. He says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And he says, now God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. He's going to continue. I just want to pause for a second. The thing about blessing is this. It's more blessed to give than receive. But the other spiritual principle of blessing is God loves to bless you when you are willing to bless others. That's one of the principles at work. And God says, test me in this. It's the only place where God says, test me. He says, put your money where my mouth is. Go ahead. Test me in this. See if I won't bless you. For instance, if you have three kids, and you know that if you give one kid the bag of M&Ms, he'll share it with the other kids, and the other two are just going to eat it for themselves, which kid are you going to give the M&Ms to? And you're telling me, what, you think you're smarter than God? You don't think God does this on a global scale? And so he gives to those who are willing to be a blessing to others. So whenever the gringos come to town in any area, they always kind of expect us to hand out something or give something. And so instead of doing that, they said, let's do a pinata party. That way you have a way to kind of give, but it's not like, you know, you're handing out things to kids. Does that make sense? So once again, you listen to the locals and ask them what they say to do. And so that's what we did. So some of these girls went to town. And I'm like, do not hit people in the head. So eventually, like, all right, we'll just dump all the candy out. And the girls, actually, this is very neat. The boys, it looked like you had called a fumble, and they just dogpiled that scene. Of course, then they all played with the pinata hats. Have you guys seen them start eating food again the second time? Okay, good, because when that happens, I gotta wrap it up. So he says, now God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times you have all that you need so that you will abound in every good work. In other words, God says, I want this to continue, and I will bless you if you help this to continue. That's what God's saying. Doesn't it make sense God would say something like that? He's like, I have a heart for these people. I want them to be fed. So I will help you, I will give you a raise, not so you can have more stuff, but so that you can give more to them. And so he goes on, he says, freely, he says, as is written in the Psalms, They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and so their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also increase your store of seed and enlarge your harvest of your righteousness. He says right there, I will give you a raise if you will help them. Test me in this. I will help you if you will help them. He says, why? Because you will be enriched in every way so that you can be more generous on every occasion. And through your generosity, it's going to result in thanksgiving to God. He says, when these people here get the food, they're praising God for having delivered it, which is all the more reason why we don't go down there and hand out the food ourselves. Why? Because they need to understand it was God through the ministry at their local church that supplied this need, not through some gringo who came in to save the day. And so they look at this and they praise God for the opportunity they have. So this is some of the older kids eating outside. But that's where I got to have to wrap this up. I just want to include with this. I hope that you'll be thinking about this at the end of the services when somebody stands up here and says, now return back up. You know, we have the black boxes outside. You can give back online. By the way, the reason why we do online giving is an old statement I heard years ago was automation trumps dedication every time. I like the fact that it just comes out and I don't even have to think about it, which is why I encourage you to do online giving so you don't have to be thinking about it every single week. But we have the black box outside. We can give online, give through texting. Why? So we can continue the ministry in Vineyard Beach and around the world. We're going to pause that video and let's close out in prayer. Father, I thank you for your grace. It's very humbling to think that there are two groups of people in this world. There are the haves and there are the have-nots. There are those who have been blessed by you and those who are waiting to be blessed by you through us. Fathers, we sit here and realize what group you've placed us in, not by our own doing, not by our own choice, but purely by your sovereign grace. May we be recognizing where you placed us and why you've placed us here. May we be aware of who we are in your scheme and in your plan. And may that truly change who we are, how we understand our role. May we never ask the question, God, why don't you do something? May we hear that the answer is God looking back at us and say, I've given you more than enough. So, Father, may you move our hearts to bless others through the blessing that you provided for us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.